News Radio WJPF. Glad to have my guest on this morning, Illinois House Republican Leader Jim Durkin. Jim, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Tom. How are you?
Good. You know, I mentioned Jim before we were going on the air. I'd said he was going to join us earlier in the week, and it took no time before letters and questions just started piling up, so I'm hoping I'm able to get to everything that I want to talk to today. But I want to start first with a press release and the reason why I asked you to join us this morning. And I read this press release from your office saying, fresh off the indictments of his confidant and gatekeeper Mike McLean, Michael Madigan is selling his candidacy for the speaker with the promise of another tax increase. You go on to say, isn't it time for Governor Pritzker and the Illinois Democrats to take a hint from the November election? Don't go back to taxpayers and job creators to solve the self-inflicted troubles facing our state. You know what? I think that last sentence really kind of hits the nail on the head.
It does. It does. You know, Tom, we came off of, it's only been a month, where Illinois citizens resoundingly rejected Governor Pritzker's fair tax. It wasn't Republicans. It was Republicans, Democrats, independent voters who said, enough is enough with Springfield. Don't keep coming back to the job creators, the small businessmen, the families who to solve their problems. You know, let me just go back to last May. We had everybody's having problems because of the pandemic. Local governments, mayors, counties, everyone, families, everyone, jobs. You have to live within your means. So we projected revenue coming in this year at a little bit less than $38 billion. Okay, all right, let's spend our $38 billion. Earlier in the year, the governor said that I need a $42 billion spending budget. And that was before the pandemic hit. So a reasonable person would say, you know what, I'm going to have to rein in my spending because we don't have enough money to spend. That is the responsible thing to do, particularly when it comes to somebody else's money. Okay? And what do the Democrats do? They pass a budget that's $42 billion of spending. It leaves a $4.5 to $5 billion hole. We told them, you're not going to be able to, you know, this is wrong. The governor and the Democrats said that, you know what, we're going to be able to make up the difference by passing a fair tax, but also getting a bailout from the federal government. That's how they budget, Tom, on hypothetical money. We warned them. And the thing is, Illinois taxpayers listened. They said, enough's enough.
Yeah.
Enough's enough. And now they're saying, the amazing thing is that it's only been about 3 or 4 weeks. And what's Mike Madigan doing? I will pass an income tax increase. He's doing it to sell, to basically buy votes to be re-upped the speaker. It's insane, Tom. Insane.
And
What have we learned?
Right. And what Jim's talking about is comments made in front of a caucus for the House. And those statements were made. And in 2017, we had a 4.95% increase. The governor said, look, we'll have to have a 20% increase if we don't approve the fair tax. You know, and I started seeing this in a different light recently, Jim, because they said, well, the reason why fair tax didn't pass is because Mike Madigan's Speaker of the House. And I don't think that's the case. I think it is just that Illinoisans, as you referenced earlier, know. They just said, no, don't tax me and don't tax the other guy either. Enough's enough.
Enough's enough. We get nothing out of it. You make these promises that we're going to fix the problems of the state. We're going to pay our bills. We're going to fix our pension systems. We're going to do the right thing. But they never do it. They never follow through with it. All it is that, oops, well, you know what? We have to ask for more money from the taxpayers, so we're going to have to raise taxes. You get nothing out of it. There's no return on investment, so to speak, Tom.
So
Illinois citizens should not put up with it.
All right. So what do we do to get out of this? If we don't raise taxes, how do we get out? And it's a big number, too.
It is a big number, and I think the number has, because numbers kind of fluctuate in based on different types of funds that we see that they grow through investments, and you know, I can get into that, but we're looking at a little bit less than a $4 billion deficit at this moment. So it's a big hole, and I'm prepared to work to do everything I can to narrow that deficit, but I'm not going to say that we're going to raise taxes. I told the governor that we have to look inside state government and find efficiencies. And yes, we have to make cuts. Now, back in 2019, Governor Pritzker said that he had ordered his state agencies to implement a 6.5% cuts across the agency boards, across the agencies. And you know what? I think that's great. It was 2019. I had a call with the governor 3 weeks ago with the legislative leaders, and the governor is like, all right, the fair tax didn't pass. What's your plan, Dirk? And I'm like, well, you know what? One, first, I wouldn't pass a budget like you did. It was irresponsible. Two, I'd like to know where your taxes, where your cuts that you ordered your agencies to do back in 2019. I'd like to know what happened with that. So I asked the governor, I would like to see what the results of what your edict was to those agencies. And I sent him another letter yesterday. I'm still waiting, Governor. So I'm not going to, we're going to have to cut in state government. We're going to have to make some reforms. And, you know, nobody likes reforms because, you know what, it requires sacrifice. And, you know, whether it's with our pension systems, but mainly it's going to have to do with our spending. That is the problem.
And you know what? And I noticed this. It seems like every day we're just spending another $10 billion, another $20 billion here. We're doing high-speed internet here. We're doing that. And I'm thinking, at some point, you got to say, wait a second. You know, we started in this thing with only a dream of having a rainy day fund in the state of Illinois. I want to hit you with something else here, Jim. This call for a constitutional change for recall mechanisms for Speaker of the House, General Auditor. What do you think about this?
You know what? We've got to give more power back to the people in Illinois to be able to say that we have lost confidence in individuals, and we're not going to wait for the natural election cycle to come forward. We have a crisis a crisis that we have never seen. I've never seen in my time in Springfield with ethics and corruption with Speaker Madigan, and he is still continuing to serve as the Speaker of the House, and he's believes that he's going to get 60 votes in about a month and a half to be Speaker again. So, I think that we have, you know, we're at a time where the legislature seemingly has no checks and balances. You know, you have an election cycle every 2 years. We know how that goes. A lot of people don't get opponents. So I think that we need to give citizens in Illinois the ability to say that, you know what, this representative has failed, and they're probably going to be able to get reelected because they follow the program for Mike Madigan and, you know, all the folks down at Springfield. So I think it's worth, you know what, at the very least, Tom, it needs to be given a full hearing, and I just want an up or down vote on it.
Right.
That's it. It may not pass, but the thing is, you know what, people need to be held accountable in Springfield,
and there's
no accountability.
I think it will pass. I really do. I think people would cherish that control.
But I think that people would be afraid to vote against it. They have to explain to their constituents why they didn't vote for recall.
Yeah,
that would be a very tough thing for anybody to be able to sell to their constituents why it was a bad idea. So there's a lot of good in that, Tom, I will say that.
I want to hit some questions from our listeners. As I told you as we started the interview, a lot of listeners have questions for you this morning. Here's one. Dear please ask Mr. Durkin, any update on the census? And, of course, what we're talking about, redistricting, remapping, which was also mentioned by Mike Madigan in that caucus meeting, my understanding. So any update on the census and its ramifications?
Well, you know what? We're going to lose. We're losing population, one, but we don't know exactly what that's going to be. We do not expect the Census Bureau to be able to give us our numbers until late spring, and it may be sometime. I talked to my attorneys and also my staff. We may not be seeing our census numbers until June. That raises a problem because we are constitutionally required to pass a new legislative and also congressional map by the end of May. So the question is, what are we going to rely upon? So that is the question of the moment of whether or not there is a, if the Democrats draw a seemingly partisan map, which they usually do. And that's what Mike Madigan is basically, that he's hinting at everybody, I will draw a new legislative map that's going to protect Democrats and incumbencies for the next 10 years. So it's still up in the air. I'll be honest with you, Tom. This is an interesting proposition. You have a Supreme Court in Illinois that I think that within the next year and a half is going to be controlled by Republicans. We could have a scenario where the map that is passed by the Democrats could be before a new Illinois Supreme Court by the time the challenge comes. It's a Democrat-controlled Illinois Supreme Court. We know how they have acted on things in the past, but a Republican-controlled Supreme Court would be very valuable for citizens of Illinois who want transparency. They want to see fair legislative districts drawn and also congressional districts. So we're still, you know, we haven't heard anything from the Census Bureau. But let me just also say, Governor Pritzker ran on the proposition that he would not sign a legislative map that is politically drawn and gerrymandered. I've asked him about that, and I said, how does he envision that? And he never really gave me an answer. And I said, it's very subjective, Governor. So I'm going to hold him accountable. I will remind him of his comments that he talked about, disavows the map-making process that's been in place for the past many, many decades.
Right. I remember his comments. Now, here's one on elections, too. This comes from a couple, David and Jennifer, who sent this letter to me. I'm going to abbreviate this to write down to the question. This is about voting, too, but it's about the presidential election and how we vote in Illinois, and specifically Dominion machines. They say the Dominion machines, they're copycats in software, were created to steal Venezuelan elections, are strongly implicated in voting irregularities in the 2020 election in several swing states, and have been used in Chicago for years. How can we trust that the Cook County vote is valid this year and has been valid in the past? Our entire state is red, yet we're ruled by Chicago.
It's obviously, everybody's very upset and concerned about the way that the November election occurred. You know, we won seats in the House of Representatives. I'm very happy about that. And we won seats in the suburbs, and we won seats in the collar counties. I'll be honest with you, I'm not convinced at this point that the Dominion software was manipulated. And people will look at this election and they will draw conclusions and they'll make their own conclusions from now until the end of time. But I'm not sure if we can say it's the machines. It comes down to organizations and getting our vote out at the end of the day. At the time, if it was Dominion machines, then I would have lost 11 votes, 11 seats in November, and I end up winning seats and flipping seats in the suburbs and the collar counties in the House of Representatives.
Right.
So there's always an argument, and I understand the anger of people about how they have viewed the way the election process has worked in different states. I just didn't see it up here in the suburbs. We Madigan spent $24 million against us, the Illinois House of Illinois Republicans. We spent $4.5 million, and we ended up flipping seats and winning. We beat Mike Madigan.
And I think that does not get sufficient coverage, really, when you think about how profound the change is. Jim, we're almost out of time. I want to hit you with one more question. It comes from a restaurant manager. So I have a question for State Representative Durbin. And this is not unanticipated. When are we going to go back to work? They say, when is the House going to get our restaurants open, get these employees back to work, and the wait staff is hurting in Southern Illinois, and they act like they don't care about them getting back to Springfield. And this, as I said, a business manager getting back to work, and they're looking to the House and legislative bodies to be able to help them get forward and move forward.
We do care, and I'm very sorry to hear from this gentleman and everybody else who's in the hospitality industry. I have been at the forefront of yelling from the highest mountain about the legislature getting back into session and to work with the administration to find the right balance of keeping the health and safety of Illinois citizens at the forefront, but also making sure that our businesses are not going to be destroyed at the same time. It's fallen on deaf ears, and it's very unfortunate. We are living by executive order, and I have been critical of the governor for the past year. I am a member of the House of Representatives. I did not abdicate, nor did I relinquish my constitutional authority to the governor. And it's very, very upsetting that not only the governor has not called the legislature back into session. We've been in for 3 days. 3 days since last March, and that Speaker Madigan and Senate President Harmon have refused to call both the House and Senate back into session also. I don't know what they're afraid of. Look, we were able to prove that we can meet, we can do our job in a safe and a healthy environment last May. There's no reason why we can't be back in Springfield. I think that Mike Madigan doesn't want to bring the legislature in because of the problems that he's having. the Commonwealth Edison scandal. I really believe that. But they say that it's not safe that for us to return. It's nonsense. We were there in May when it was equally as when the pandemic was raging at that point, and we were able. No one walked out of there sick. It's just an excuse. It's an excuse, and they will pay a price. They, meaning the Democrats. And I believe that part of the reason why fair tax was defeated, why Kilbride was defeated, why the legislature and the House did well, was a part of the fact it was taxes. But the Democrats, a failure to do the right thing and to protect their small businesses in the worst pandemic that this country and this world has experienced in over 100 years. They completely forgot about the business industry, the small businessmen and women. They've given priorities to the big box operations for no good reason, like the Targets and the Costco, but the small mom and pops had to shut their doors. It's a horrible, horrible narrative in Illinois. I can't force Pritzker or Madigan to call us back. All I can do is yell and say, bring us back in. We will find a solution to make sure that our businesses will be able to keep their heads above water during this time.